Hey everyone, welcome to the Mass Construction Show with today's guest, Michael Janovich, Building Commissioner in the town of Walpole and owner of CodeSafe Massachusetts. I'm your host, Joe Kelly, and this is a podcast about all things construction in Massachusetts and beyond. Today's episode is audio from the latest LinkedIn Live, where Mike and I discuss a recent ruling by the Massachusetts Attorney General overturning the town of Brookline's bylaw prohibiting any permits for new buildings with fossil fuel infrastructure. Said loosely, you cannot build new buildings that would be heated by fossil fuel. It's an interesting topic and a good chance to take a look at the important role a uniform building code plays in design and construction and where zoning and other bylaws have their place. Enjoy the show. Mike, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. We're doing kind of a quick impromptu conversation about the Attorney General's decision, which came out yesterday, right?
Correct.
That's correct, yep. Mike Corey, we are both from Massachusetts. Mike and I, Mike is a building, I'm glad you prompted me, Mike. Mike Corey. Mike Janovich is the Building Commissioner in the town of Walpole. I am a code consultant and do construction education. Here in Massachusetts. I think, Mike, you might actually be Rhode Island, if I'm not mistaken. Mike Corey, I think I know you. But real quick, so yesterday there was a decision that came back from the Attorney General's office in regards to the town of Brookline's zoning bylaw that was created to, in a sense, regulate slash prohibit the installation of fossil fuels. Lines, but maybe it's better served to you, Mike. Mike, could you explain what Brookline's bylaw said?
So the proposal was to ban all new structures having fossil fuel burning appliances. They actually modified and allowed cooking, gas cooking, but appliances, any other appliances, heating, water tanks were banned if this proposal were to be passed from allowing fossil fuel burning appliances, whether it be oil, whether it be gas, or others. So that was the proposal. Obviously a step in the way of green energy requiring electric was what you would be defaulted to. But as we know, yesterday's Attorney General's decision shot that down. I think we're at the end. We kind of went to the end first, and I think we can walk back and go through the steps if you want.
Yeah. And did they put any provisions in there if you were a homeowner? Like, did it apply to everybody?
It did. You know, in Brookline, there's a lot of building going on. There's been a construction boom in Brookline for quite a long time. Some fairly large single-family homes. Neighborhoods are becoming very dense. So this was an effort to stop the use of fossil fuels, but I think it was also an effort to curb building in effect. That's my interpretation. I don't think that was the full intent, but I think it was also a step to curb some building that's going on there because of the boom that's been going on in Brookline for probably the past 10 years.
Interesting. I didn't think about it that way, but it de facto does that, right?
Right.
Until the technology catches up from solar or wind or geothermal or whatever the option is. Okay.
Right.
So Brookline passed that bylaw. And then what's the mechanism? How does the Attorney General get involved?
This is a general bylaw, much like zoning bylaws, general bylaws. The proposals for changes go to town meeting. So Brookline is a representative town meeting. So there are representatives in Brookline that represent each different area, each different neighborhood. Whereas some other towns are open town meeting, and the entire town can vote on changes to local bylaws and zoning bylaws. So there was a proposal, I believe it was a citizen's proposal, to, again, stop the use of fossil fuel burning appliances. The signatures were secured in order to get it onto the warrant or to get it into town meeting for a vote. And Brookline overwhelmingly voted to approve this warrant article that banned fossil fuel burning appliances. Subsequently, any town meeting article that's approved through town meeting, whether it be a general bylaw or a zoning bylaw, goes to the Massachusetts Attorney General's what's called Municipal Law Unit. And they review bylaws and general bylaws and zoning bylaws specifically for conflict with law to make sure that there isn't any specific conflict with law. And that's what happened. They usually have, I believe it's 3 months to review, and they actually asked for an extension on this one, and it was extension out to July 21st, which was yesterday, and yesterday is when the decision actually came down that stated that the bylaw had been disapproved because of conflict with state law.
Okay. So like a random example, if they pass some town bylaw, okay, just fictitious, that says, okay, drinking age is now 18 in Brookline. That would go to the state, and the state would say, no, that conflicts with the state law. You can't do that. Right?
Correct.
That's the mechanism we're talking about here.
Exactly. Correct.
It would be helpful because we're live, so people might be hopping in and off. So what we're talking right now about is the Brookline bylaw to prevent the use of fossil fuels on new construction. And that went to the state attorney general's review process, and they came back and said what?
So they disapproved it because of the conflict with multiple established state laws, enabling acts for instance, the building code states that if there's conflict with any, you know, additional state law or local jurisdiction, that the building code always ends up being the code that you default to. The plumbing and gas code also have a similar mechanism, and they're enabling, stating that, you know, municipalities shall not regulate, and it shall be the state code that preempts local regulations. The interesting thing is there is a state regulation that allows you to go stricter for plumbing and gas. You have to petition the state plumbing board, state gas board, but that's to go stricter and specifically for one community. It's not statewide. And then DPU, Department of Public Utilities, has their own enabling at the state level as far as fuel sources and whatnot. And utilities. So it conflicted with three enabling acts, three portions of legislation in Mass General Law. So the Attorney General's office pretty much said, look, you can't regulate codes at the local level. There was a long, I forget, it's 13 pages, I believe, the explanation, whereas most explanations for a denial may have maybe one page. This had 13 pages attached to it. You know, very well thought out denial saying that energy is, you know, it's important, and energy conservation and green energy is important, but because of the conflict, you know, this can't pass. And as you and I have talked, Joe, imagine every municipality having different restrictions and regulations around code, what you can use and what you can't use. I think it's difficult enough for contractors, developers, even big contractors and developers, to go into a municipality and the interpretations and processes are so different from one to the next. Now imagine the code that you're trying to comply with on a project is different from municipality.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to get there. It's one of my favorite topics. So I want to comment, and this is just opinion type stuff. This isn't why I'm doing this, but I found it interesting on a non-code or construction related thing that I was surprised to see the opinion, like the personal opinions, make their way into the decision. Because, like, I understand, all right, an attorney general is elected, right? So it's a political position.
Right.
But I also think of them as, you know, kind of law enforcement or similar to like the court system where, you know, a judge should be leaving their opinions out of it. So I guess it's very naive for me to think that because they got elected, right? So there's some politics in there. But I did find it interesting, as much as they were saying, essentially, you're way off base here. You have no jurisdiction to do this on so many levels. But they said, hey, we really like this, and we don't want to say no to you, but you're breaking the law here, right?
Right.
So I found it just quite interesting to read it. And I was kind of taken back. Because, I mean, I tend to think there's, you know, this merit, there was good intention here by Brookline, right? So I see what they're doing. But I was just surprised to see the letter coming from the Attorney General's office having kind of their personal opinion about the intent. I just don't think of that as something that would come. And maybe that's just my naive.
You know, I think it's just a show, you know, of position and support, you know, for the particular proposal. I think, you know, statewide, there's some support for, I shouldn't say some support, there is support for green energy. And I'm not sure, you know, opinion on green energy or renewables, you know, is a little bit different than them taking a position and actually stating this should you know, happen, and we need to figure out a way for it to happen. I understand even the Supreme Judicial Court When they are rendering decisions now, some of the justices have some interesting notations and comments when they're rendering a decision on a, for instance, a zoning article or a zoning hearing, and there are quotes and whatnot. There's a little bit of comedy that's been added to them. So I don't think it's too far. I think to have an opinion and possibly sway future decisions, that's, that's where it starts to get a little bit dicey. But I hear you with the, you think it would be cut and dry and it would be straight to the facts, but I think we're seeing a little bit more and more of flavor of whoever is in office, whoever is rendering the decision, get into these decisions at the state level.
Yeah, I definitely found it interesting. Like I said, I'm probably naive, and you're right. You think about the Supreme Court and how they have the both sides put their little letter attached with it, why they voted for, why they voted against. And I guess it makes sense that opinion got added in there. I just, so much if I think of it, okay, this is a legal decision. What are the merits? What side A say, what side B say, we come to a decision. So right. I thought it was interesting to say, yeah, we're deciding against you on all these reasons, but we really agree with you.
Yeah, right.
It was interesting. But the big part about this, I thought this might just be a good reason to discuss the code in general, because I think so many people don't understand how it's structured, right? So I thought maybe let's talk to people. So they said that in 1975, both before you and I were born, there was a...
Shortly.
But there was a building code. Boston had its own building code, right? But as of January 1975, Massachusetts adopted a
uniform building code.
Uniform building code, right? So it said that now all cities and towns have to abide by this state standard, correct?
Correct. And,
well, tell me how do you kind of see that? Because I mean, I have my thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, I think I just touched on it a little bit. It was to prevent every municipality from having a different building code and having different requirements, which in turn, affect construction costs, construction timelines, not to mention every other peripheral, issue with each municipality having a building code and politics in each community and whatnot. So the uniform building code was to allow for development and projects to go forward without having to modify, construction projects based on the community you're working in. So Massachusetts made, a concentrated effort to have a building code that would work, there are conflicts, obviously, but will work for everybody in the Commonwealth and everyone could follow that building code. I think it was just to eliminate the confusion is what the intent was.
Yeah, and if you think about it, imagine being an architect and trying to design a building and it's hard enough to keep up with the state building code. Imagine if you had to keep up with codes in multiple municipalities.
Right.
It'd be an absolute nightmare. We saw it play out even a little bit with COVID. Right, COVID site safety plans, where we wanted really the state to come out and say this is what you want, but then all the cities and towns started saying, okay, in this town we want this, and that town we want this, and it started to get very confusing very quickly. And that was for something small in the great scheme of things, right? Imagine if it was how you design a building, that would have been, it's dizzying, and it's dizzying to think that that's how it was at one point. Right. And then are there still communities left, that don't have building codes?
Not in Massachusetts. You go north. There are communities, most every state in the country and in the world for that matter, countries in the world have adopted a uniform building code or the international building code for that matter. There are communities that are a lot, less stringent. You go north in New England, in the fire service is usually the authority that enforces the building code, or even in some places in like Vermont, where the planning division enforces the building code, they're less stringent. Inspections, you're more spread out, you're not as dense, you don't have the urban environments. So it's very, very, much honor system, essentially, when you're building, when you go to places like that. But the code is still in place. It's just the enforcement and verification that's much different.
So the state in 1975 created what they call the BBRS, Board of Building Regulation and Standards. They are essentially people that write the building code. even though they adopt a international model code, international building code, international residential code, energy, existing buildings, all these books that make up the Massachusetts state building code, and then they add on amendments that make it local to Massachusetts. So they take the international code, add amendments, and the goal there, right, is to eliminate conflicts. Because you were just saying, you know, if you have town-to-town variation, it becomes very confusing. They also have what's referred to as the BCCC, which is the Building Code Coordinating Committee. So the BBRS refers, similar to when the bylaws go to the state attorney general, code changes go to the BCCC to make sure there's no conflict between the plumbing code, electrical code, building code, so on and so forth.
Right.
As you're well aware, that's not perfect, right?
Nope.
I think we all know of a handful of things that there is still some conflict that gets in there, but for the most part, that's that mechanism. So the BBRS writes it, the BCCC is the check on things, and then there's an appeal system, right?
Correct.
So if you disagree, there's a state board where you go and appeal.
Correct.
And I don't know, did you notice in the decision that was one of their other concerns?
I didn't. I can imagine, though, the ramifications would be, where do you appeal a local jurisdiction's code or requirement if the requirement is not actually in the code? You know, where would you appeal it? So that's one of the concerns.
Yeah. So that's one of the things the Attorney General cited, which is when that code structure was set up, part of the mechanism was an appeal system. Brookline had created created some name for some group in the town, like a sustainability review committee or something like that.
Okay.
And then if you were refused a building permit because of that, you could appeal to Brookline's sustainability review board or whatever. That would be made up of three members from the town, and they could allow you to build based off of a financial hardship or whatever the reason is.
Right.
The Attorney General said no, because now, again, you're superseding the state appeal process, right? Which you can't do. And then I didn't think of it in the moment, but when you talked about like the politics from town to town, right?
Right.
Then you start bumping into potential politics, because who are the people on the board?
Right.
And right. Who may they, you know, like family list or something like that. You just enters more opportunity for local politics to get involved with the building code.
Right. I mean, to step back a little bit from where we are now, I think what people have to understand as well is the building code, the plumbing code. So those are CMRs, the Code of Massachusetts Regulations. But all of those codes are enabled, they're mass general laws, right? So it's through legislation that these codes are adopted, and the promulgation of the adoption process goes through mass general law. So it's not that the code just exists on its own and it's adopted through a state board. It is law in Massachusetts, the enabling for the state building code and plumbing, and as I mentioned, DPU, the Department of Public Utilities. These are all enabled and backed up through mass general law. So, you know, it is a state law, and state law usually preempts local jurisdictions when you're talking about conflict. So I don't think a lot of people, they know 780 CMR, Code of Massachusetts Regulations, but there is a state law behind it through legislation that adopts the state building code. So.
All right. Well, I think that was probably helpful for people. I think if you want to read it, hop on over to Mike's, let me see if I can type something in here, LinkedIn profile. I'm going to put his name in there so you can find it. It's not going to let me. So if you go to Mike Yanovich, you'll see that Mike was kind enough to post the entire 12-page decision from the Attorney General's office. I think it's worth a read. Mike, in the past, I'm going to completely catch you off guard here, but in the past you have written a little bit about Airbnb.
Correct.
Right? And that's another place where cities and towns start to create bylaws,
right,
to try and regulate that. Do you see places where that, have you seen it at all, get bumped up to the Attorney General's office
It has. Any zoning, any local bylaw goes to the Attorney General's office. And the state chose in recent legislation to allow for the taxing of Airbnbs at the state level. So it's up to each jurisdiction whether or not they want to allow Airbnb. So if a town were to allow for short-term rentals through zoning, because we've learned there was a case out of Hull, actually, that prompted a lot of concern about Airbnbs and single-family neighborhoods. If a town were to propose an Airbnb bylaw to allow for short-term rentals, then they'd approve it through town meeting, and subsequently it would go to the Attorney General's office, and they would approve it just as any other. So the use, it's a use issue. It's adding a use to your bylaw. And it's not Airbnb. It's any short-term rental. And what people don't realize is these short-term rentals have really been around for years. So Marshfield and Plymouth and these seaside communities and even other places like the Berkshires, you know, people rent out parts of their homes or they rent out homes that they buy. It's just the platform and nightly rentals that kind of spurred, the push on Airbnb. But yeah, the Attorney General's office has taken up short-term rental bylaws through communities. And it's not the bylaw that's controversial, the fact that it gets to the Attorney General. It's the location in the community and what the climate is for allowing short-term rentals in particular neighborhoods is what where the issue comes in.
Okay. But you haven't seen her refuse any bylaws to date, have you?
Not to my knowledge. And what's great is for people who are listening, you can actually go to the municipal law unit. So you go to the Attorney General's website and you go to the municipal law unit. You can research and look at every community's submittals and approvals of denials for town bylaws and zoning bylaws just by going to the municipal law unit and putting in either a year or putting in the actual community name. And it's listed chronologically by year and what the articles were, what was approved and what was denied. There's a keyword search. You could put keywords in there.
Oh, so, wow, that'd be great. So you could do short-term rental and you would see everything came up on that or green energy or...
Right.
All right. Well, Mike, I wanted to intentionally keep it short, but I just wanted to let people know what was happening with the Attorney General's decision and use it as a time for people to kind of understand how the codes work and why cities and towns just can't step in and make whatever laws they want, essentially.
Right.
They all have to follow the state code.
Yes.
Great. All right, Mike, appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kit Kat Club is proud to present something new, something different. So would you please give a warm welcome for the rhythm. Well, I came here for something funky to happen. This Christmas, 'cause everybody's rapping, but better get sparked by the song that I sing. No, my name is Martin Luther.